Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast, featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
Ingram, my BF, took it to the house and finished it off with a nice little spinorama at the end. It was a thing of beauty.
Your pillow talk that evening must have been spectacular.
Oh, yeah, I put that one on the spank bank.
Should we retry this?
You can't make Ralph do the ad again.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. We have a ton of Saints news to get to, but before we get to the most important news of the weekend, my depression, Andrew, tell the people where they need to gamble online.
Well, I mean, that's obvious. Everybody knows you go to my bookie. So, you know, since we started the show, I get asked all sorts of questions about who to bet on, who to bet with. And I don't always know who's going to win, but I do know where to go. The answer is MyBookie. Between their live game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wagers, there's something for everyone. With the best player perks in the sportsbook business, they've been good to us, and we know they'll be good to you. They're hooking up listeners all month, so visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account. You can also claim a 50% bonus when you do this. So you lay down $100, now you've got an extra 50 to play with. So that's mybookie.ag. And the promo code again is HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yeah. Okay.
Andrew screwed it up.
Yeah, I did. I slipped up a little bit there.
Yeah,
you were supposed to spell out the... You were supposed
oh, my bookie?
Yeah.
Oh, see, yeah.
Andrew's
MyBookie.ag.
Yeah. I am officially the best ad reader.
You are.
Well, but Kevin gets a shot, too.
Yeah, Kevin gets a swing next week unless there's breaking news in St. Louis.
Hey, second place ain't bad. I get a silver medal. That's better than Ralph, right?
Yeah. The Saints have a ton of news, but before we get to that, I want to get to my devastation. I am now officially the crippled Susan Lucci of the NOLA Press Awards. I have finished second back-to-back years to Les East, and I'm depressed. I wanted that award.
Like Les East is like Drew Brees to Matt Ryan. Like, you're his Matt Ryan.
He does.
He owns you.
He does.
Fun fact, Susan Lucci lives in my hometown, Garden City, New York.
Oh, wow.
I actually went to middle school with her son. He was a very good golfer.
So I'll make a prediction. My post-NFC championship column will be nominated for next year for 2019 awards, and I will...
Ooh, that was a good one.
And I will lose that to whatever Les East writes when he does a feature on a future Saints player. I will lose again. I will be second place. And by the way, thanks WWL Kevin. He, not Kevin Held, but the editor of Channel 4, he didn't trick me, but he was like, you're an award-winning columnist now. And I'm like, oh my God, I won. And he's like, you've got the second place award. I'm like, that's not really winning. You know, it's like saying the Saints are the second, they won the prize of being the second best team in the NFC. You don't win that. You know? So.
Well, speaking of winning, that's a good segue into one of the topics that's this lawsuit that's going on and how Roger Goodell may be deposed. So maybe the Saints, maybe we'll win a lawsuit.
We'll get to that in a second. But, Dave, I wanted to start off with the Saints actually had major newsy events today. They cut Cam Meredith and...
Cut his ass.
And people were getting on me because I said that the Saints doctors, it's so shocking that they would mess that up and misdiagnose a guy's knee injury. And they were like, that's not true. The Saints doctors aren't bad. So I want you to rant about the Saints doctors. But before I say this... This is the Saints' official doctor. He gave us a quote.
What can you do? Medicine's not a science.
So, Dave, Go ahead. I know you hate the Saints doctors, and you think that they couldn't diagnose a hangnail. So I'll let you have your say first.
I'm not going to go so far as to say that, but I don't know. Maybe somebody else might be losing a job soon. I don't know. No, I don't know if it was the – I mean, didn't he like kind of tweak something or re-injure something? Yeah.
His knee exploded when he was in Chicago. So,
no, I know, but I mean
– he re-injured the same knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's back up for a second, and Dave, let me paint this picture for you. He's a restricted free agent. The Saints sign him to a 2-year, $10 million offer sheet. By the way, they let Willie Snead walk, and he signed 2 years, $6.5 million, I believe, with the Ravens.
Props to Josh Kazestein for jumping back into Saints Twitter and saying, can we officially say letting Willie Snead go was a bad idea? Yeah. Way to go, Josh. So, that was top notch.
So they signed Meredith for more and let Willie Snead walk away for less. And when Chicago declined to match the offer sheet, they were asked, why did you do that? And Ryan Pace, former Saints assistant GM, said that his medical staff advised him that Cam Meredith's knee was just too messed up and they didn't have confidence that he could come back. So go ahead, Dave, continue.
Well, I mean, my point was, I mean, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. My point was is that, you know, the doctors, the medical staff, they judged the initial knee injury that he had. They thought it was okay.
Were you talking about the Bears or the Saints here?
The Saints.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They said, okay, we think he'll be okay. He comes back. He re-injures the Saints. I mean, I don't know.
You know who thought the opposite and was right?
Ryan fucking Pace.
And other medical staff. 30
other NFL teams.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Look, and Sean Payton made the good point today. He's like, I'm glad we didn't mess up on Drew Brees. You know, they asked, like, do you regret signing Cam Meredith? And he's like, no, not really. I mean, part of the deal. I don't regret signing Drew Brees. So, you know, point taken, fair enough.
They just
you
spun
take a bunch of swings at it.
They just spun the injury wheel, baby.
I mean, based on him saying that actual quote, it kind of makes me think like they kind of knew it was a risk and they just did it anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
So then there again, it's not so much the doctors. The doctors probably said, yeah, you got a 50-50 shot with him. You want to pay him? Pay him. He may not play. He may play. You don't know. And if that's the situation, then the doctors did exactly, I think, what they were supposed to do.
Well,
yeah. Here's my thing, and you know, we talked about this a little bit, and I think a lot of Saints fans are already kind of moving on and saying, "Well, I look at it as glass half full. It's great because Emmanuel Butler's been awesome, and Simi Cobbs is looking good. So we've got all these young guys." Yeah.
We'll get to Mr. Butler in a second.
We'll get to that in a second. But the thing that concerns me is that Cam Meredith's ceiling was higher than all those guys. And so if he's looking so bad, by the way, the fact that he gets cut after one day of pads is freaking brutal.
Oh, can I give myself credit?
I mean, how bad must he have been?
On the Saints Happy Hour Twitter, which, by the way, you should all follow if you're in the YouTube channel and you haven't followed us on Twitter. As soon as somebody said Cam Meredith is not at practice, I said the Cam Meredith got released watch is officially started. 15 minutes later, they're like, yeah, the Saints cut him. So I gotta
give myself. You nailed that.
I nailed it. It was easy. Yeah, it was like a fastball down the middle, though.
I noticed that. Very, very good job, Ralph. Very good job, Ralph.
Were there any
wackadoos on Twitter that said, cut him. They could have traded him for a second round pick. What
no,
are you doing?
But I spent all day trolling about a dozen people, just going to, explaining to them how the Saints needed to trade Michael Thomas for 2 number ones to Buffalo because Emmanuel Butler, he is the truth, baby. Have you seen his highlights? Saints Twitter is gripped with a wide receiver love affair that we have not seen since Adrian Arrington.
Do you have a train derailing crashing sound for Little Jordan Humphrey for later? Do you got that queued up for later?
I don't have it. I'll have that
Dave,
for next
it's not,
week.
It's not how you start, Dave. It's how you finish.
So, I mean, but seriously, I mean, the hype for that guy, he's out of control, right? I mean,
it's out of control. And look, I think it's great. And it's not impossible that that kid could end up being the next Willie Snead or Lance Moore or, you know, I mean, I'll throw Kenny Stills in that bucket. He was a low round pick, but you know, sometimes these receivers, they come out of nowhere and they succeed in this offense. It happens. We've seen it. Colston was a seventh round pick. So it happens. But I just think my thing about Cam Meredith is I saw him when he played for the Bears before his injury, when he was amazing. And if he could have ever gotten that back, like I just, when we talked hypothetically this offseason about what this wide receiver group could be, I still wasn't ready to give up on Meredith because I knew that his ceiling was higher than everyone else.
His YouTube highlights are fucking amazing. And don't pretend like none of y'all didn't binge that shit in the chat room when they signed him and we were all giddy. Don't pretend like that didn't happen. Yeah. That happened. All right?
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm sure Emmanuel Butler is doing well at practice, and that's great, and I'm hopeful that he makes a team and maybe he can catch 30 passes this year. That would be great. But his ceiling is not Cam Meredith's, and so – like when we talk about receiver being a problem and we talk about what needs to happen for it to be okay.
Hey,
like
that's me and his money.
That's what needs to happen for it to be okay, Andrew.
That window is shrinking a little bit. The margin for error is shrinking.
I mean, Dave, are you at all concerned about Michael Thomas not coming in? We're into the first week of camp and he's still not there.
No. I mean, a deal is going to get done, and it's probably going to get done sooner rather than later. I mean, both sides have been amicable and agreeable, and you know, the Saints have said that they want to make him the highest paid. You know, or they've leaked that supposedly or most likely. So I think it's going to get done. I'm sure they're just, right now they're just working on some of the finer points, the finer details. But I'm assuming possibly any day now.
Yeah. Listen to this. We have breaking news, Saints related. The Dallas Cowboys have panic signed Alfred Morris. The Saints were kicking the tires on him as they apparently are going through the discount bin desperate for running backs.
So I guess he's not coming to visit now.
No. Which brings us to our next topic. Andrew, the Saints were – they had Theo Riddick in the building, and he is a pass-catching wide receiver.
Any relation to JJ?
No. So – me and you were talking ourselves into getting irrationally excited about him.
Yes.
He visited the Saints, didn't have a deal, went to Denver, didn't have a deal. So does that make you think maybe he's coming back around and the Saints are still in play a little bit?
Definitely. I mean, I think he's visiting teams and you know, just kind of getting a feel for everything. If he got an offer he couldn't refuse, you know, he would have just signed it and it would have been done pretty quickly. But I think he's taking his time to try to find the best fit. You know, he's not going to see the field a ton. Actually, I think if anything ever happened to Kamara, potentially he could see the field a lot. He could play a lot, but, you know, especially on passing downs. But, you know, assuming nothing happens with Kamara, he would be nothing more than a Taysom Hill kind of specialty player. You know, he'd have 10, 15 scripted plays for him a week, and they would find a way. He'd be just, you know, another useful tool in the toolbox, you know. And I just think – as we saw with Taysom Hill, Sean Payton excels at finding niche roles for niche players.
Also, Riddick is Detroit in the last decade has been a trash heap running the ball. And I'm not saying Riddick is good at running the ball. I'm not even saying he's mediocre. I'm just saying he might be 20 to 30% better than he was in Detroit when you put him with the Saints running the ball, which would make him an abomination running the ball to not awful. So that,
look, I'll put it to you this way. Sean Payton was able to make Tommy Lee Lewis and Travis Cadet both look useful enough in his offense that they were signed by other teams. So therefore, give him Theo Reddick, and I believe it's going to be even better.
Yeah. Dave, now we need to get to the thing of the Saints. We'll start doing position breakdowns as we go for this year. I want to talk about cornerback because I find it really interesting when I pull up the depth chart. Like, there's going to be maybe one dude that the Saints are going to have to get rid of that other NFL teams are going to want. I mean, just looking at the depth chart, Lattimore, Eli Apple, your starters, Patrick Robinson, you know, is your nickel, PJ Williams, that's four, Ken Crawley, that's five, Sherrills, that's six, you know, so, you know, and then you have, you know, well, I don't know if you classify Gardner Johnson as a corner or how they classify him, but that's
a hybrid player.
So, like, they all can't make the team, you know, and Sherrills counts as a corner. I mean, kind of, right? He's not going to play corner at all. If he's playing corner, the Saints might have just put me out there.
Yeah, there's Justin Hardy, too.
Justin Hardy. So, like, one of them's got to go. So, before we get to that, like, I look at the corner, and I feel pretty good about it. Dave, even I know that eventually the plague is going to hit them, and they'll be down to Justin Hardy, an oil drum, and me at corner. But right now, I feel good about it. Do you feel as good at corner as I do?
It's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, that's... I think you could make the argument that's the most depth they've had at the position maybe ever under Sean Payton.
2009 was pretty deep, but then they got wrecked by injuries.
Yeah, I guess. Although I don't think at the start of training camp, though, we thought it was deep. Mm. I think it wound up being deep because a lot of those guys wound up playing well. But to start the season, I don't think that necessarily we would have said, "Oh yeah, this is crazy deep position." In fact, I can't see myself saying that about cornerback ever in the last 12 years. So I'm going to say no. It's funny because...
I don't think I remember feeling that way in my lifetime as a Saints fan.
Right. At cornerback.
Yeah.
It's funny because actually I just checked in on Canal Street Chronicles and they actually had an article about five different players at five different positions that could potentially get cut and maybe get signed by another team. And cornerback was one of them, and they had kind of pointed out PJ Williams. I mean, like you said, you've got... I don't necessarily agree. I think that even with Lattimore, Apple, and Patrick Robinson as like your nickel, I mean, Williams is your first, you know, your first backup. So I don't see that happening. But I would assume that that's your top four right there.
Is Billy Bando?
I think Ken Crawley's a guy.
Is Billy Bando in the chat room tonight? Is he gonna?
Who is in the chat room?
We got
Allie's in the chat room.
We got Dylan. He's a TV star, weatherman. We got Saints Recline. We got Joshua. We got Tom Stewart. I recognize them all as patrons. By the way, you should be a patron. If you're a patron and at the $7 level, you get a magnet, you get a koozie, and on August 1st, you get the fucking fire screensaver / wallpaper in two different formats that you can put on your desktop or your phone, and it is fantastic.
Now we got Jim Gleason on the chat, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. So, I mean...
Is he related to Steve Gleason?
He does have a 37 jersey that says Gleason. Leasing on the back.
I know that this is gonna flip people out in the chat room, or maybe they'll just laugh me off, but whatever. I could see a team though that, like Kansas City, for instance, who lost a corner today, and I don't know if the corner they lost was an outside corner, a slot guy, or whatever, but I could see a team like Kansas City come cut down week saying, "Oh shit. We think we can win a Super Bowl, and we are fucking desperate at outside corner. Hey, Saints, we'll give you a seventh for Ken Crawley. And the Saints are like, well, we're going to cut him, so we might as well get him. I really think this, people are going to look at a corner the Saints cut and want that person. And I think Crawley could be that guy. And it wouldn't be a – like, if you were, say, Andrew, 2014 Saints desperate for a corner – and remember how desperate the Saints were in 2014, where they lost they lost Keenan Lewis, Jabari Greer had retired. They were playing Travis Fredericks at corner. They were playing Pierre Warren at safety. Like, they were fucking desperate. If you were that desperate, Ken Crawley would look pretty good the first week of September.
Yeah, no debate here.
Do you think it's likely though?
To get a seventh round pick for him?
That it happens at all. That the Saints trade or...
Yeah, I mean, I think the minute he's... The thing is, like, when you're at final cuts, you've got this influx of players that become available, right? And so it's... If a guy's being shopped, they know it's because he's about to get cut. So I see people in the chat asking, like, only if seventh for Crawley? Couldn't we get a fifth for Crawley? I just think at final cuts, you go from 90 to 53, and that's every team in the league. And, you know, if Saints are looking to trade him, I mean, maybe it's because they have a logjam at the position a little bit, but maybe it's also they're just Ken Crawley's not good enough to make the team. So, you know, yeah, I think a seventh is probably the best case scenario. Now, you know, the thing about Crawley is, and this is why I think he's on the outside looking in, He doesn't have special teams ability. He doesn't have slot ability. He's really only an outside corner. And that works great if you want him to start. I think he can start, and we've seen him at times be capable in that role. Sometimes he's struggled. Sometimes he's been good. But he really can't give you anything else. And so when you carry your fifth corner, your sixth corner, that's reserved for guys like Justin Hardy, who can play their ass off on special teams. Or... you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who you can move around, he can play safety, he can play the slot. So I just think he's on the outside looking in because he can't give you special teams, he can't give you slot play. And so I think Crawley will go to a team that will say, hey, you know what, we have a starter that can play the slot and we can slide him over there and bring in Ken Crawley and he can be one of our top three corners. And I do think someone would give a seventh round pick for him at final cuts.
Yeah, the interesting thing, David, I was kicking myself, kind of, because in my the WWL preview, I was trying to predict the veteran that the media would gush over, and I picked PJ Williams, but through 4 days of practice, Eli Apple has 4 pass breakups. He looks like a dude, Dave, that is prime to say, I am going to play great on this good Saints team, and I am going to get fucking paid. Do you see any of these corners besides Marshawn Lattimore that could really break out? And if I said, here's $100, put money on a guy, not Lattimore, that's going to get 5 picks, who would you bet on?
I mean, you just answered the question before you even.
But I mean,
asked
would you? Question. You could go PJ Williams. You could go no, Patrick well, Robinson.
I'm sorry, but the answer is Eli Apple. I mean, he's got the most.
Yeah, but have you? I agree with everything up until 5 picks. Have you seen Eli Apple try to catch a pass?
That's what I'm saying.
Dude's got stones for hands, bricks.
Well, anyway.
He ain't catching 5 picks. He might have a great year, but...
Yeah, it's not just about the picks. I mean, yeah. I think the point of the question is, like, who's going to be the next big guy next to Marshawn Lattimore? And, I mean, obviously, it's Eli Apple. And, I mean, I think that most of us are, you know, you could say hoping, I guess, but that... Eli Apple's lack of success in New York wasn't because of his talent. It was because of scheme or coaching or whatever. And now that he's got Dennis Allen and whoever else is helping out with the DBs, he's coming into his own. So, you know, Patrick Robinson, I don't, you know, I was wary about the decision, you know, from the beginning of bringing him back. But I'm going to be interested to see him and see how he plays. But I'm not expecting anything.
Here's an interesting question that somebody shot at me on Twitter today. Who is going to break the Michael Thomas contract extension when it happens? If you had to pick one NFL reporter, knowing that Schefter is like the gold standard breaking news, and you know he wants to break that Michael Thomas story.
Diana Rossini.
Andrew, would you still bet on the Saints beat reporter Diana Rossini to break the Michael Thomas contract?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't think, like, could it be like Mike Garofalo or Jay Glazer? You don't think
Garofalo?
No. Diana Rossini is the 3-2 betting favorite in Vegas, you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you be stunned if it's not her?
Stunned. The only pause I have is that I feel like Josina Anderson sometimes like has an in with players, like personal relationships.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be Diana. It's gotta be.
The Saints also
it won't be somebody local.
No way. No chance.
You know, I have to say,
not with Nick Underhill gone.
Saints Twitter with training camp, I have to say, it's been a struggle with, I think all the times Picayune guys are gone, Underhill's gone, and I think they're, you know, the NOLA guys, I think, got an edict of like, hey, you need to be on Twitter for Saints training camp. You need to be tweeting your ass off. And the last couple of years of training camp has been amazing. This year, I find it not as strong. Am I not following the right people, or do you guys disagree with that? I feel like the tweeting from Saints camp from the media people is not as strong as it has been. Yes,
couldn't agree more.
I'm not on Twitter as much as all you guys are, so I'm gonna defer to the
experts. Aren't you Mr. Hard Working Diligent Dave? Not fucking, I don't fuck off during the day and look at Saints Twitter. I looked at Emmanuel Butler highlights all fucking day. I will not lie.
Yeah. Well, if your livelihood depended on it, you wouldn't.
That's probably true.
Apparently, your employer will continue to employ you despite the fact that you're running a totally separate business on company time.
I do SEO, and anybody who does SEO knows that it's basically a pyramid scheme. Don't be blaming the world and blaming me because I got a cushy job, all right? Just saying. It's not really a pyramid scheme. It's more like a black box. You don't know the magic that Google does to get the rankings. Andrew, the Saints also signed an offensive lineman. I won't even try to butcher his name.
No, please do.
Yeah, give it a shout, Ralph.
Let me see.
All of our adoring fans are on the edge of their seat as we speak.
Let me try to pull it up.
He's a guard. He played for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
His first name is easy.
Patrick Amame. It's a man's world. Is that close? No close.
I have no idea. Probably.
Booking the territory says butcher.
We were going to make fun of you regardless. We don't even know what the correct pronunciation is.
We just know that you will not have it right, which is a good bet.
Do I have any idea how to pronounce it? No.
No.
Mispronounced it.
Just keep throwing out possible pronunciations. Whatever the last one you say is the right one.
Omami, Omamay, Omamai, Omamu.
Omamu. We'll go with Omamu.
Oma, I'm not going to play here much longer.
That's a great soundbite, by the way. You need to get that one. Naga, Naga, not going to work here anymore.
So, but he started, you know, almost, or he's played in almost 70 games. I can put it this way. I'd rather him over Clapp or Tom playing in a 70, game.
70 games. One for each pronunciation that Ralph gives.
Incorrectly.
I need to get the whammy soundbite, so every time I mispronounce a name, we can just have the little whammy noise. No whammy, no whammy, no whammy, whammy. But is that a fair point, Andrew? Would you feel more comfortable with Clapp, Tom, or the dude the Saints just signed?
Clapp, Tom.
You know, I kind of like that they're getting a bunch of veteran. I mean, we haven't even talked about Ryan Groy. He's on this team. He played for the Bills. You know, Michael Ola, who was on the team last year and did really well in camp last year. Marshall Newhouse played for Carolina. You know, he's on this team, and he's a guy who's, I think, looked pretty good so far. And then obviously Nick Easton was the big free agent signing. So, and now they've got this new guy, Omame. So I think, you know, it's kind of throwing a lot of things at a wall and seeing what sticks. But, you know, there's not, with the exception of Eric McCoy, there's just not a lot of young, promising offensive linemen. I mean, I think you can maybe make an argument for Cam Tom and Will Clapp, but, you know, will they ever be starting quality players? I don't know. So, you know, you get a bunch of veterans and you see, I think backup offensive line, especially when you look at tackle, if something happens to Ramchick or Armstead, I have no idea how that goes. And so
I know how it goes. I think it goes bad.
Yeah. But I think it's good to have, you know, a lot of guys battling it out, and we'll see who makes the team. I mean, I think you're going to have to be really good in camp to make the team. I think the path to the roster this year for Will Clapp, for example, is way harder than it was last year.
All right, we need to talk about Eric McCoy. He was not running with the ones today. Apparently, Nick Easton was running with the ones. But more importantly, Dave, I finally saw a picture of Eric McCoy. He looks like Drake.
The real McCoy?
No, he looks like Drake and DJ Khaled had a baby, and that baby grew up to play NFL football.
Dave, you have no idea how spot on that is. I mean, it is.
Well, I'm going to look at it. So what? So he looks like a fat Drake?
Yes. He looks like a like Drake if Drake took a lot of hormones and a lot of creatine and maybe got looking at him, like radiation, like some superpowers. I mean,
Eric McCoy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was spot on. That people went,
it is shocking how spot on that is. I mean, it's horrifying.
Oh, another one. I mean, just the first picture of him at the combine, I mean, it definitely looks like DJ Khaled.
If he mated with Drake.
All right.
Brian Hart says, waiting for Ralph's yawn sigh.
If you're in the chat,
I gotta say
Eric with a K, Google it. Eric McCoy. It looks like Drake and DJ Khaled.
It sure does.
It's unbelievable.
It is. Well done. Ralph, you just came up with that yourself?
Yeah, I did. It was my best tweet in months. Booking the territory asked,
they should reconsider giving you that award.
They should. If either tackle goes down for an extended...
Fucking Leslie's come up with that.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the award. You know, I'm only partially bitter. I feel like I'm only partially bitter because I want to win, and I want to make Eric Paulson address me as such, as an award winner. If Les could just not submit next year, and I could win, and then he could go back to winning every year, I just need it once so that I can have the respect that I don't deserve, but I crave. That's all I want.
Les East is like Roger Federer, man. He's not letting Andy Roddick win a Wimbledon. You don't get a Wimbledon, Andy Roddick. I'm just going to keep piling them on.
Yeah, but Andy Roddick, he got a U.S. Open.
I'm just saying, man. But yeah, well, that's like you winning some other award that's not as prestigious, I guess.
I want that award, man. I saw all the and then I saw all the happy winners Saturday night, and it just made me more angry. I'm selfish. It's what I want. So, but here's the question, Dave.
We should make this podcast more less East as the years go by.
No, I think y'all should make it more pro Less East, and just like you secretly just want him to win for like the next 10 years, and me just have second place certificates stacked up for fire kindling. That's what everybody.
I want to manufacture a scenario where he's your nemesis.
No, I have. If you saw my Twitter mentions today, you know I have many nemesis. As people were defending the Saints doctors with, they were defending the Saints doctors with a passion that I didn't realize was there.
No, speaking of, I mean, you can never say anything bad about Drew Brees ever on Twitter. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot the golden rule, which is that you can't even suggest that anything remotely critical about.
Oh my God! I tweeted out about him having a wobbly pass. Jesus Christ! They're like, it got there. I was like, it was end over end, and it was one pass, and I made a joke.
Did you guys see his tweet? Did you guys see his cleats?
Yeah, they were bad.
Okay, look. First of all, his
cleats. The freaking official Saints account tweeted about it 8 times during the day. And
okay,
wrote
let's talk about the cleats. Let's talk about.
Okay, we need to talk about the cleats.
First of all. If it was Michael Thomas or Kamara or Cam Jordan, Breeze is a 40-year-old freaking white male, you know? And, like, I love the guy. He's awesome. He's the face of the franchise.
What the hell is a world coming to?
But, like, he's just – it doesn't work for me seeing those on him. It feels a little weird. Secondly, like, Louis Vuitton, really? Like, that's just, like, the purse that my wife wants. What is that doing on Drew Brees' cleats?
Yeah, it felt out of place. It's like me trying to rap. It didn't go. The funny thing was though, after the quarterback.
It's like you trying to rap with like it's like you doing a rap track with Heidi Klum. That's what it's like.
That's a reference like 4 people got, but I'm here for it. Heidi Klum. Here's the thing, though. The funny thing, when he after the quarterback challenge.
By the way, you guys keep going. I'm in the middle of making a meme with DJ Khalid and Drake and Eric McCoy. I'm gonna have it up. I'm gonna have it in a second.
Make sure you post that from the podcast account.
Yeah.
Well, Dave. I don't have. I need the password of the podcast account.
Well, we'll have to give that to you later. Guys.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and say that live on our whole show. Well,
that's what you could text everyone.
Yeah, so then the Saints Happy Hour podcast can just be the meme from Dave and then just pornography all the way down. And probably like Russian troll posts. But the funny thing was when they were pouring the Gatorade on Drew Brees' head, he was like, "Don't get the cleats, don't get the cleats." I have to say I'm with you, Andrew. Like, it just like it wasn't a good like. And the thing was like they made the cleats. Like you'd have thought they'd have been like, let's not give them to the 40-year-old dad who, if he didn't play quarterback, you'd totally believe he drove a minivan. You know, I mean, we love Drew, but his like cool factor for the Saints is like what, a 1?
Mm-hmm.
Right, why is Alvin Kamara not wearing those?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I got killed on Twitter for criticizing his cleats.
I mean,
I seriously think Drew Brees could go to practice wearing a thong and a G-string. I mean, just he could go to practice wearing a leotard and everyone on Twitter would think it was the greatest thing ever. You know what he could do? The biggest heist of all time. He could go into New Orleans, open a Jimmy John's, and everyone would think it's so great it would be successful in a town where pole boys exist.
Jimmy John's is terrible. I don't care. I love you, Drew, but Jimmy John's is awful. Unless they start sponsoring the podcast, then they become awesome. So, Dave, tell the people.
Tom Stewart says Alvin Kamara can't afford Louis Vuitton. And Michael Thomas can't either, probably at least
not
for
yet.
A couple days.
Not yet. Kamara will probably be able to afford them next summer when he holds out. But, Dave, tell the people where they can get the best tickets to events.
Wait, what? Oh, I'm supposed to be reading an ad?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. What? I didn't know that. I thought Andrew was... There's multiple ads.
Oh, I'm the ad guy today?
No, I mean, hold on. I'll get... No. This is my chance. This is my chance to shine. Okay, so I'm doing the SeatGeek?
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, see, this is... I haven't even gotten a chance to read it, so this is going to be right off the bat. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you are getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks great deals, yellow dot means it's good deals, and a red deal means maybe you should stay away. Use promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's 2 free beers at the stadium on them, or a nacho helmet, or, you know, whatever you want to get. So what are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
You messed up a couple times there, but I did like the ad lib though.
What did
I
mess up?
You went off script a little a couple times.
He said
yellow deal is a good deal. It's a yellow dot is a good deal.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, there we
Dave
go.
Says
look,
it
if
was
you're gonna put me under a microscope, buddy, that goes
no,
both
I've,
ways.
Yeah, hey.
Dave has a passion for the ads that me and Andrew just do not. Dave reads it with.
With gusto.
Thanks to our sponsors. So, here's the thing with the Saints. I will say though, they seem to be having more fun at training camp than other teams. Like other teams don't have the quarterback challenge, the cleats, and all that. Even winning teams. Like I would expect like loser, shit, boring teams to not have any fun. Like the Jaguars with Tom Coughlin running, like, you know, they're not going to have any fun on social. But the Saints, like, they're having a lot of fun goofing off. Have either of you guys been watching the quarterback challenges?
Yes.
I feel like they're rigged for Drew Brees rigs them so he can always, like, so he has a distinct advantage in all of them. Like, I don't think they're fair to the other participants.
How so?
I mean, like...
Because it's all touch pass stuff and not...
Yeah!
Arm strength?
Yeah. Like, it's... Like, you know. Like Drew Brees had like, an off-season where he, like, planned each one of them, and they're all, like, for maximum advantage for him. And I felt bad for Teddy in the one where they were trying to knock the bottle cap off, because he missed that bottle cap, like, 3 straight times by, like... It had to be, like, less than 3 inches. And Teddy's my boy because he's going to be the future of the Saints. It's going to be awesome.
I still can't get over the gloves, though. It's just so weird. Why does he have a glove on his throwing hand?
It's weird. Why? It's weird. And they're giant. He looks like almost like the hamburger helper guy has, like, taken control of his hands. And it is weird. It's jarring.
If you could choose Drew Brees never wears Louis Vuitton ever again on any part of his body, or Teddy Bridgewater removes the glove from his right hand, which would you pick?
Can I choose C, changing the way you pronounce Louis Vuitton?
Well, how did I say it?
I don't know.
Louis Vuitton?
That sounds better. You say it like Louis Vuitton. I don't know.
You say it like you say it like I would expect myself to say it.
Well, it's actually in French. It's Louis Vuitton.
Oh, yeah.
You want to know that's the right way to pronounce
it. Right, because you're from France. France, we come from France. So, yeah, I'm sure you...
You Americans, you do not know how to pronounce correctly, you asshole, okay? I know how to say correctly, and you are shit.
Let me tell you something. I've only been to France once in my life for LSU exchange program where you just get shit-faced all over Paris. But my roommate was from Acadiana, and let me tell you something. When a Cajun starts speaking Cajun French to an actual French person, the French person's head fucking explodes. Like, they get confused, and it is hysterical. And they try-
Maybe I should do the, you know, I need to do the ad as Frenchman Juge. That's what we're missing.
That would be interesting.
Irish Kevin does one of them, and Frenchman Juge does the other.
Frenchman Juge can do, he can do SeatGeek and do it in an insulting way for people that don't get on SeatGeek. I like that attitude. But seeing French people listen to Cajun French, their head, it feels like it's going to rupture inside. Like, they're going to have an aneurysm and die. Like, they want to understand what's going on, but mostly they're offended that somebody has taken the French language and just twisted it in a way that only a Louisiana person can. As an aside. So.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
All right. Text me the password to the. I got my. It's the stupidest thing you've ever seen in your life. I've got my Eric McCoy. I don't even know if it's a meme.
No, Dave. The stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life is that first graphic that I paid somebody to do on Fiverr that looked like baby shit green and a baseball lettering. Here's a question from Nick Knight. Do you think your great knowledge of geography, not knowing the difference between Australia and Ireland, contributed to you losing the Lest East? Nick, you go straight to hell. All right? All you people are mean. I don't know why you want to rub this in. I am hurt in my moment of need. You people, you just pile on. Andrew, this is an actual football question from Saints Recline. With the Meredith release, does that mean more playing time for the youth or more freed up money for Thomas?
Yeah, it's not going to impact Michael Thomas too much. I mean, remember, the first year of the deal is always the most cap friendly. So as the years go by, that's when it will be more significant against the cap. You know, it's interesting. I actually heard, so a quick aside on Michael Thomas, I heard Mickey Loomis on Sirius Radio today, and he mentioned that, you know, he doesn't know how close it is because, you know, a lot of times you feel like it could be really close and then it's really far, and sometimes you feel like you're really far away and it gets done a day later. So, you know, I think it was interesting to hear him say that, but he said, you know, a lot of times with these things, and he wasn't necessarily talking about this specifically, but said a lot of times with these deals, it's not so much the money, it's more like the structure of the deal and the guarantees. And so the way he was saying that, it kind of made me feel like the parameters are kind of done and they're haggling over guarantees and bonuses and kickers and that kind of thing. So I think they're kind of in the detailed portion of the negotiations. At least that's what I heard from the interview. And who knows how long that's going to take, but hopefully it gets done quickly. But, you know, with Cam Meredith out, and as long as Michael Thomas is not here, you're going to see more opportunities for guys like Simi Cobbs, Emmanuel Butler.
No, you're going to see the Emmanuel Butler hype train turn into a rocket, and he's going to go straight to the fucking moon. Like, I was not super excited about Saints training camp like I usually am. All it took, as you said, Andrew, all it took is one day and one awesome play from Emmanuel Butler and Cyril Grayson catching two bombs, and I was right back in. I'm like Al Pacino in The Godfather. I thought I was out. They pulled me right back in. So this is from Craig, Dave. What position are we going to be super excited about in August that we are completely terrified about in December?
Probably cornerback. You know, we're probably like we were talking about earlier. We were all excited about how the Saints were never been deeper at cornerback. Sure as shit in December we'll probably be wondering what guys we can sign off the street.
Yeah, I mean, I would say corner or linebacker could be an issue. We haven't talked about linebacker yet, and we will in the next couple of weeks. But linebacker is one of those issues where I feel like DeMario Davis is sort of that thing that like props up the whole enterprise. And if something would happen to him, like you would look at linebacker Andrew, and you'd be like, oh God, it's not good.
Yeah, let's not talk about guys going down, though. I mean, I'm with you, Ralph. Like, it didn't take me long. It took me about three practices to get overhyped about the season. And the main thing that's got me excited is, you know, the offensive line. I thought Warford maybe would be on PUP, you know, and he's practicing and he's healthy. And, you know, they've got a good competition going at center. They're rotating Easton, Tom, and McCoy and giving all three of those guys a fair shake. And Teron Armstead looks amazing. Ramchek looks like he's recovered from his ailments. And Andres Pete's hand is fine. So the offensive line looks healthy and looks good. And we'll see how the season progresses. But right now, I would say the offensive line is much further ahead than I feared they would be.
This is an actual football question from Don Takano, not about drugs, alcohol, or women, which I appreciate, Don. Dave, next year we have to pay Rankins, Lattimore, Kamara, Ramchek, and Anzalone. Is Marcus Williams the odd man out?
Good question. I mean, you know, the Saints did draft two safeties this year, kind of surprisingly. So maybe. Maybe he's out.
I mean, they don't have to pay Ramchek or Lattimore next year. And they could, you know, they're not going to pay everybody. I would say probably the most likely guy to not get paid in that bunch is Rankins, just because they're going to wait.
For Anzalone.
You think?
I thought that was in the question, but
yeah, Anzalone was there too. Yeah.
Oh, he said Anzalone.
He said Rankins, Lattimore, Kamara, Ramchek, Anzalone. Is Marcus Williams the odd man out? They got to pay them all.
Okay, so you're confirming he said Alex Anzalone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
the linebacker with nice hair.
Yeah. Also,
Alex Anzalone.
Wargott said Anzalone's, he was at practice today, and he said it was more magnificent than he even hoped in his dreams.
Does anyone know what I'm trying to get at?
I know you sound like you're talking out of a speaking spell.
Alex Anzalone?
Yeah, that's clear. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I would like fries with that, Jude, yes.
Thank you.
There you go. I was trying to get to it, but you sounded so bad in your audio. I was having a panic attack, like that my whole enterprise was crashing down on me.
Am I okay now?
Yeah, you're okay now. I was just having one of those moments where
my wife
was looking at me because I had a feeling of dread, and then
I think I got my drink on.
Just because I thought everything had gone to shit, and you're just waiting for. I knew you were waiting for me to play Anzalone, but.
Do you have the Zion voicemail queued up? Can I just hear that just for the hell of it?
Yeah, I got it. Do you have it, Ralph?
Let me see.
They got Zion. They got Zion.
Here we go.
They got Zion!
I'm never deleting that voicemail, ever.
That needs to be in the intro.
I will say this. As ridiculous as I sounded on that voicemail, and I am ridiculous, I would say that no matter what Pelicans podcast you listen to, I was more excited in that voicemail than any of them were on their first podcast after the Pelicans got Zion. I was out of my fucking mind excited. And I still am about the Pelicans. The Pelicans are going to be fun, but you know, they're done. So
the best part about that is, you know, my son's a huge Pelicans fan and he's like all in on the whole Zion thing, but we missed the whole lottery thing because he had a baseball game. And so I missed the entire show and I'm driving him back from baseball. And I guess I missed that Ralph called. And so I see that I have a voicemail and I play it on Bluetooth and my son hears it for the first time. So he both like understood that we got the first pick and that we were getting Zion and listened to Ralph go crazy in that voicemail. And like, he still talks about it to this day. Like it was the greatest moment of his life.
Well, I mean, nobody thought they were. So like, it was okay. Like if you blow off the lottery, you know?
No, it was amazing.
But that commercial break where they had the top four and then they went to commercial break and they came back, like that shit was enthralling. And it made me want the NFL. It made me want the NFL to do like a draft lottery system because that shit is, when you're in it, it's just amazing. It's like just like straight heroin into your veins. It was phenomenal. Why do the Saints... Dave, why do the Saints sign the store brand version of almost every player we ask for?
Because you know why? Because in most cases, the store brand version works just as well as the name brand version, okay? So we don't need your snobby attitude.
I love it. Jean-Paul, Andrew, asks... Not a question, more of a discussion point. Traquan Smith is basically Lance Moore without the chemistry with Breeze. Will it take another year to be on the same page? Defend this take.
You know, the thing is, Lance Moore and Willie Snead, maybe even Kenny Stills, like, it was kind of immediate. Like, that light came on. Marcus Colston... I mean, that synergy with Breeze was immediate. I can't think of a receiver that was kind of bad with Breeze for a couple of years and then became really good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like with Breeze as a receiver, you kind of have it or you don't. And that's what makes me nervous about Traquan Smith.
Yeah.
You guys feel me on that?
No.
Yeah, because you've got a guy like Manny Butler who comes in immediately and connects with him.
I feel terrible about my pick as my UDFA adopted son Ozigbo. Like he got
I mean, the Saints are looking at so many running backs. They're clearly not happy with your garbage.
No.
Adopted son.
He got murdered by Anzalone on Friday in shorts. Like Anzalone literally As soon as the theme music stopped playing, Ozigbo was dead. So that was. But
sounds to me like we're gonna be in 2 years from now. We're gonna be talking about how we should have never let Mark Ingram go to Baltimore. The same way we're talking about how we should have never let Willie Snead go to Baltimore.
Hey, you know what? All I know is out of this adopted son UDFA. Mine, of the three of us, mine is in jail, and I am still winning. Because he hasn't been cut.
Yeah. He's still on the team.
I'm not sure I've seen Little Jordan's name mentioned one time.
One time, dude. The Emmanuel Butler hype train is...
Spotlight. Save some pussy for Little Jordan.
The hype train of Emmanuel Butler is just a black hole and is just consuming everything in its path. It has swallowed every other UDFA's hopes and dreams and spit them out.
Did you guys see how bad Emmanuel Butler's stats were against
real teams?
Corners playing for real teams though in college.
It was pretty awful, wasn't it?
It was like the passer rating when he was playing against a real team when the ball was coming. Now, granted, you know, we don't know who was throwing him the ball, but the passer rating was like in the low 50s.
Well, training camp, it's about summer love, you know. I mean, who can forget those two?
He didn't have Brees throwing him the ball, you know.
Who can forget the time when Brandon Coleman looked amazing the first 2 days of camp in 2016 and everybody thought that he was going to be a 70 catch receiver? I mean, you know, or Adam Big Hill. Who can forget him? I mean, you know, we have these summer love affairs. There's nothing wrong with them. Before we get out of here,
are we going to talk about this lawsuit at all?
Yes, that's what I say for the last, for the tease. I don't really care about questioning Goodell about the whole pass interference thing. I just want them to rake him over the fucking coals in the deposition about Bountygate and just ask him hard questions about Bountygate.
Wait, hold on, I don't know. What is this deposition?
They said that the people suing about the NFC Championship call, that they could depose Roger Goodell and like the head of officiating and the head official in the game, I think.
They're actually going to let them do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
so basically, I talked to my lawyer buddy about this too, and I was on the same page as him. I thought all of these lawsuits got thrown out or whatever, but apparently there was one still alive, and a judge in Louisiana gave the go ahead and said, you know what, it's okay. This is a valid case.
Woo,
and this
Louisiana.
This lawyer is doing this, but he's not necessarily really representing any clients that want any money or anything like that. He's only seeking $75,000. It's like he's not, you know, like the original group of lawyers that did this immediately following the game. You know, they wanted financial restitution for all the tourism that they were missing out and for refunds for tickets and all that kind of stuff. You know, this lawsuit isn't trying to get that. In fact, I think they're asking for just $75,000, and they said
for
if
what?
They win,
all
they're
we want is Roger Goodell's balls. That's all we want.
Basically, the lawyer, he just wants the ability to get Goodell and the officiating crew or whatever to sit down and force them to have to answer questions under oath, which is a deposition. This judge said that, yes, you can do that. And I'm sure that the NFL and their lawyers, you know, can't believe that this has gone this far, and they're probably pissed off, and they're probably a little surprised that they even have to do this.
I mean, this is going to get thrown out before he has to go to New Orleans, right?
I mean, I would be very surprised if they let this. I mean, as far as I know, I think this is just a small time lawyer. I mean, I don't think this is anybody, you know, big. This isn't some big shot lawyer.
Goodell's going to call up some Supreme Court judge. I don't know. So big time attorney Stephen Juge, my dad, just said in the chat that 75K is the minimum for federal court. So there you go.
I mean, our
legal expert on
the thing
podcast.
Is though,
and
the
I
thing,
think, yeah, and I think they wanted, they specifically made it that amount because they wanted to be in federal court for whatever reason. You know, they wanted to either get in a certain circuit or something like that, because they kind of knew that would be their best chance.
And here's the thing, like a deposition, they can ask you like anything. So like they can go off in wild directions, ask Goodell about how he does penalties for domestic violence, like all of it. And so the NFL is going to want to.
And I would read that transcript.
Oh my God! I would give a month's pay to watch the video of that, just to see Goodell drinking the water and shake, like, because having him in a deposition, I mean, the gold that you could get out of him. Oh my God. It would just be
I would love to just ask, like, Mr. Goodell, how do you feel about Coach Sean Payton wearing a T-shirt with you on in a clown nose? How does that make you feel?
Oh, by the way, just so you know, the screensaver for the 2019 season that all the patrons get, season of vengeance, it has featured in it prominently, the Roger Goodell clown nose pick. If you're on the fence of whether you need to be in the $7 tier to make sure you get everything, I'm just going to throw that out there for you.
Facts only.
But is, I mean, there's no way, right? If you're your dad is in the chat room, maybe Stephen just can answer. Like, there's no way that Goodell is in a chair, and in the other chair facing him is this lawyer from Louisiana, and Goodell is going to get deposed over like 2 days. There is no way on God's green earth that happens, right? I mean, there's no way, Dave. Did your lawyer friend answer that?
No, I haven't gotten a chance to really discuss it in detail. But yeah, I do. I, in my non-professional opinion, I agree with you. I think, first of all, he's a lawyer, and he was surprised. He thought all these lawsuits had gotten thrown out. You know, mostly because they're fairly frivolous. But so he was initially even surprised that there was one that was still active and still going through. So I would assume that, like me, he would probably be surprised if this went any further and Goodell had to sit there and answer questions.
Does Goodell have the option to just pay $75K and make this go away?
That's a good question.
Because I could totally see him. I mean, he makes like $50 million a year, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, $75K to him is literally like 50 cents to us.
Could somebody get out a calculator and convert that for Goodell's salary? You know what though, Andrew? You might be pretty close. Like, if you make 50 grand, that might be it's probably not 75 cents, but it's probably no more than like $4 in conversion. So anyway, thanks to everybody in the chat room tonight. This has been great. And by the way, if you're in the chat room and you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, do it. And when we get to 500, the day that we get to 500 subscribers, we are giving away a t-shirt and a koozie, and we're going to pick somebody. They're going to get your own patron spotlight on the night we get to 500. All those things we're going to give away in the chat room. So do it. Get us to 500 subscribers. Tell your friends, tell your family. We want to get to 500. We're only like 95 away, so it's not like it's a like you know, we're asking for the moon. But thanks again, guys. We got breaking news for the Saints, and of course, the Saints Happy Hour Daily podcast. Any breaking news the Saints have, me and Andrew are on it. We were on the Cam Meredith thing. We're the first podcast out the gate this morning. We had you covered as soon as that breaking news happened. So sign up for $7. Get your daily fix of the Saints Happy Hour. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who is covering some sort of breaking news disaster in St. Louis, I'm Ralph Marlborough. Until next week, the bar is closed.